Good morning. Thank you so much for the introduction. We're going to move a little bit over to the West Coast and talk table grapes, so we're switching gears. Very long title that I have over there, so let's just get into the presentation. You'll see what this is all about. Okay, I'm going to give you a quick rundown on what's happening in the California table grape industry for those of you who do not know the industry very well on that side. In 1839, the very first table grapes were planted in the Los Angeles area, and it pretty much just took off from there. With railroads being built, table grapes started to move into the rest of the country. And about 99% of table grapes today produced in the United States comes from California, so it's a lot of them. And about 80 varieties, or even more than that, is actually grown there, but there's only 15 of them that is really significant for us, and I'll get into those 15 in a little bit. Now, usually we have table grapes available from May all the way through January, so it's a very long time because we can store them at least for a little while. And then if we look at the last season we had last year, we had the second largest crop ever, even with the drought on that side. And we had 110 million 19-pound boxes that were packed, and they were exported pretty much worldwide. Just a little under 50% of that was actually exported. The rest of it stayed here in the United States. So there's a really large local consumption for table grapes. And a new record was also set in terms of the crop value of $1.76 billion. So it is a significant crop that we're working with. Now, if we look at the 15 table grape varieties that is out there, that's really the more important ones, they can be divided into your red grapes, your white grapes or green grapes, and black grapes. Now, mostly, people like seedless grapes. So all of those pictures are seedless grapes at this point in time. And of the 15, there's only one seeded grape. Now, the column on the right, we have 2010 and 2013. You can see that the cultivar profile doesn't really change a whole lot. They shovel around a little bit, and every now and again there's a new one that is just moving a little bit up into the top 15. Now, Red Globe is our seeded variety and mostly gets exported to niche markets, and a lot of those go to the Far East as well. People over there really still like their seeded grapes. Now, all the others are divided into their color groups, and you can see them. The one with asterisks over there are your more proprietary varieties. That is what you would find at places like Sun World, something like Superior Seedless is actually Sugar One. So if you see those trademarks, it's just a different name for what we have. All right, now, we decided to do a study specifically on one cultivar, Autumn Royal, which is a USDA-created cultivar. Dr. David Ramming, he was a breeder for this. He retired recently from the USDA Alton Pollier in California. Now, we're working with a black seedless grape here, late maturing, September to October. You can find these grapes depending on your area a little bit. And then we have a rather large berry size in this case. You do not need to do a lot of manipulations like other table grapes to get a large berry size, but it's pretty vigorous, so it can grow really strong. And usually if you have a vigorous grower and your crop load is high, you're going to have some problems with your color development. Same thing with some of your red cultivars out there. Now, viticulture in a hot climate, we won't say really warm at this point in time. It's somewhere between 106 and 107 out there in California. And we are year number four into a very serious drought. So things are looking rather dim at the moment. And because of the high evaporative demand and because it's such a dry heat, we definitely need to irrigate on that side. Now, if we start manipulating the water status of the plant, maybe we can still keep a good quality crop, but maybe we can irrigate a little less. Now, this type of irrigation work has been done a lot on wine grapes, not so much on table grapes, and that's why we started looking into it, especially with this drought that we have. Now, usually people in table grapes go for those substantial yields because the more bunches you have on your vine, the more money you can get for that. But they didn't look so much into more sustainable yields, especially with the drought. Now, high vigor issues will induce some canopy shading, and as I said, that usually influences your color development on certain cultivars. Now, also, high temperatures are known to affect your fruit quality, and then sometimes it can be pretty negative, especially sunburn and things like that. Now, over the past 10 years, temperature has been going up, and the rainfall has been going down in California. And this year, it's even a little worse. 4 years, as I said, we've got serious water restrictions on that side. It would be really nice if we can tap into the Mississippi down here, but it's not possible, they say. Plant growth regulators, that's something that we have to use in table grapes. Now, every cultivar is different, and every cultivar's got a different combination of plant growth regulators that you use. Gibberellic acid has always been used on Autumn Royal, and it's to overcome that excessive fruit set. Now, if you have excessive fruit set, you have a very tight cluster, no airflow, and that's when you have disease development within the cluster, any kind of rot development. So you want to make sure that you use at least a low concentration of gibberellic acid during bloom time or even for stretching, just to make sure that you thin out those little flowers. That will help you with your berry set in the end. And also then, if you have sizing sprays, it will make that berry size a little bit bigger, because seedless grapes, they don't have seeds, they can't produce their own gibberellic acid, so we have to apply it from the outside to get a large berry. Now, Autumn Royal is also known to have a relatively weak cluster architecture, that's the framework, and that can actually also give us some shatter, so the berries will fall off. Ethyrrole is also used on Autumn Royal, and that's usually used on red and black grapes to enhance color development. But there's always been some talk that maybe it causes some cold storage problems, some color, some shipping problems as well. And also, again, with the architecture that we have on the cluster, we can have shatter and berry cracking. Now, that is plant growth regulators. Let's look at the water amounts. Table grape production, always people overwater. They overwater more than usual because they really are scared that they might compromise quality. If there's grapes that looks a little shriveled because maybe there's a little bit of dryness, that's not a good thing. So it's mostly also a lack of knowledge. The table grape industry is doing really well, so people are not really in that mood or mindset to change their ways. So we were looking into water amounts to see if we can see if there's an effect on yield, color development, storage, water footprint, if we can actually do something about the water amounts and get still the same quality in terms of table grapes. Now, the fractions of evapotranspiration for specifically the cultivar is what we use to do this irrigation strategy. Now, my colleague is more the irrigation person. I know table grapes, and then there's someone else who does the wine chemistry or the wine and grape chemistry. So if there's difficult questions, we will try to deal with those. Now, usually, typically, these fractions of water that we would give is more a wine grape-based strategy. Now, it's been done in wine grapes. It's really working well. People are doing it, never for table grapes. All right, so with the effects of the drought, we have that reduced soil moisture. It's affecting the phenological stages at this point in the grapevines. Canopy development is being hindered. Decreasing packout rates, we've been seeing a little bit of that, not a whole lot yet. And at this point, it doesn't matter if you irrigate within the season, it's so dry and so hot, that water is pretty much evaporating quickly. And that's why we're looking into these regimes, that we can find a way to irrigate less and to get the same quality. So there's two ways of doing this. There's sustained deficit irrigation and there's regulated deficit irrigation. Both of these strategies are based on wine grapes. We took those and we developed a strategy for table grapes. Now, first of all, we need a crop coefficient. I'll tell you why in a minute. And that is calculated by the weekly shading in the vineyard. We have a reference crop evapotranspiration, and then that gives you your cultivar-specific evapotranspiration. And this has also been affected by the drought. Now, on that picture, it's something that you can find online. You can find your reference evapotranspiration all over California. The region we're working in is a little bit down, more towards the south. That's where you find the table grapes, mostly in the southern parts of California. And this reference evapotranspiration is based on wheat. Now, grapes are a little bit different than wheat, so we have to look into a crop coefficient. If you base it on wheat, we're going to over-irrigate because we have 100% coverage. Grapes does not cover 100% of your field. So you need to go and only irrigate your root zone. That's when you're going to have much better irrigation strategies. All right, now just in general, if you have reduced water or reduced irrigation, your berry size might be reduced, your vegetative growth and your yield might be reduced. Berry size, not so good for table grapes. So we were looking into seeing if we can keep the berry size at the same level even with restricted irrigation. We will get some increase in light transmittance into the canopy and increase in anthocyanin and biosynthesis, especially when we withheld the irrigation between fruit set and veraison. So that is what this whole project was based on. Just a quick show for those of you that doesn't know grapes so much, but the color is actually mostly located in the skin part, and your color development is always in stage 3 when you have your cell enlargement stage. Now, why are we doing this work? I think I answered that already, but we aim to find that optimum plant growth regulator mixture with a combination and optimal irrigation regimes, so that we can either improve the color profile for Autumn Royal but still keep good quality or even higher quality grapes. Now, we worked in an Autumn Royal block that was 80 acres big. The experiment covered about 11 acres of that. North-south orientation, 8 by 12 planting. It was an open gable structure with that was all spur pruned, and it was a quadrilateral training system in these vines. They were about, I think, 6 to 7 years old. Drip irrigated all of them, 1 gallon per hour emitters, and there were 3 emitters per vine. It was a really nice setup. We could switch on and off irrigation as we wanted to. And then it was all a factorial arrangement of treatments, and we had 4 replications of this. Lots and lots and lots of data vines. The treatments we applied, there were 4 different plant growth regulator treatments, untreated control, triplic acid by itself, ethyl by itself, and then a combination. And all of this were combined with 3 different irrigation strategies: a grower control, an early RDI, and a late RDI. Now, the early RDI, you would start out with your grower control irrigation, and then between fruit set and veraison, you would cut the water by 20%. And then for your late RDI, everything goes really nicely with 100% irrigation until veraison, then you also cut 20% until harvest, and then you switch it back up to 100%. So just to make sure things were going well, we were monitoring our irrigation regime with the people on the farm, the grower, and we could see our early RDI were definitely a bit more restricted. We could see that restriction in the water, and then the late RDI as well. To back this up, we actually had midday leaf water potential measurements out there. When it's 106 at 12, was quite something, so we would go out there and we would actually take these leaf water potentials, and usually we actually did see quite higher water leaf potential stress on the vines. All right, light transmittance between bunch closure and 4 weeks post-veraison, every time our irrigation regimes were the ones that gave us more light transmittance, because you are actually restricting the water. Usually we had a little bit more light into the canopy when with the RDI early. Berry size and cluster weight was not affected, which is very good for table grapes. You do not want them to be affected because you want to keep those berry sizes up. So nothing statistical in that sense. But cumulative boxes packed per acre for early RDI with your combination of ethyl and gibberellic acid, we had a significantly higher packout rate, as well as RDI late for your gibberellic acid and the combination of the two plant growth regulators. Chemical composition, no significant differences whatsoever, also very good. And color measurements, we looked at HPLC work as well as CIE work, and we were looking specifically into the color compounds on the profile. And we did some measurements to get the total skin anthocyanin content, milligrams per kilogram. And every time with early RDI and the later RDI, we had some pretty significant differences there, so they were higher. All right, I will skip to the post-harvest part. Also, after cold storage, no differences whatsoever, very good for us. And in the end, what we've learned from all of this is that you need PGR applications. It does affect your yield and your color and firmness, storability, sometimes negative, sometimes positive, but definitely your early RDI was a much better performer even in the drought. We have to combine it with plant growth regulators. There's no option around it. The yield was a little bit better. Color was really good. Storability was not affected. And my colleague worked out that we had irrigation savings of 2 acre inches for full color development in this case. So if there's any questions, maybe afterwards, I might have talked a little bit too much today. Thank you for everyone who helped out on this project. Thank you.